This is the Techno Buffet Podcast, episode number 669, recorded Thursday, March 14th, 2024, in 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Welcome to another exciting episode of the Techno Buffet Podcast, once again on Thursday.
On Thursday?
Yeah, my fault. Well, not fault. While I was unexpectedly called out of the country, unexpectedly in the sense that they keep asking me to leave the country with only a few days' notice, I had to cancel a dental appointment, and they didn't have another one until July, and I like to get my teeth cleaned more frequently than that for not getting cavities. So they called me on Tuesday and said, we have a last-minute cancellation at 7:15, and you and I usually record at 8. So I sent you a message and said, I can get myself into my dentist. Can we adjust? And you accommodated to today. And then yes. I asked you to adjust again, because as I think I mentioned, I went to New Jersey because of a family wedding, and the family members who were attending the wedding asked if they could leave their car near my apartment while they continued on to the next phase of the wedding, and they didn't mention that they expected me to drive their car to the airport and then bring it back and leave it near where I live, which I did. So we are recording on Thursday, but later than originally expected. So thank you for accommodating me.
Thank you. You put up with far worse for me far more often.
Okay, if you say so. But that sort of brings me to something I was going to mention, which is me attempting to travel without a laptop.
And how did that go?
Let's see. Two nights with a mini PC, and this was an N100 Chewy Lark box that I got cheap, some of those USB-powered portable monitors, a 65% keyboard, and a mouse. Worked surprisingly well. It felt like I had like a full-size desktop sitting at a hotel desk.
Nice.
Maybe I'll take it on the next time that they ship me off to Bulgaria. Although there they have me sitting on a garden chair. I'm going to have to talk to them about that. If they can't get me an actual chair, I'm finding another hotel. Much as I like that one. I wrote them a nice review. They owe me something. I think putting a chair in the room so I could sit is the least they could do. Anyway. So I'm going to continue to refine that particular idea. I've decided it's time to strip down some of my older electronics and put them into, I'm not going to say retirement, but it's sort of the cycle of life. They get in, they do one thing, and then they do another thing, and then they do a third thing. So I think it's time to move some of them into the next stage of their repurposing. But if I ever actually have time, I'll probably talk about that, because I still have a tremendous mess here that I was working on before I had to take that trip that I have to get back to. You know how it is, you start cleaning up the wiring, and then you end up with an emergency, and then you come back to it, and you're trying to remember, what was I going to do with this again?
Yep.
Yeah, well.
I completely understand that.
Yeah, well, I just did one of the things, which is I replaced the... I have a monitor that serves as the monitor for the Zoom system that I use to do this podcast with you, and I swapped the monitor out. It's actually a portable monitor that people use while traveling that sits above my regular monitor that is perfect for Zoom communication because I can look up at it. I replaced it with one that has a USB-C connection that includes a touchscreen. It wasn't that expensive. So the idea is if I can rewire it into a computer that actually has a USB-C port, that I won't have to hook up a wireless keyboard when I want to do Zoom and control it. I can just sort of press the screen, which I thought was a useful idea.
Sure.
So that's one of the upgrades. But as I said, I need to swap the computer under it that we're talking on right now to one that has a USB-C port, because otherwise it won't activate the touchscreen. So something to look forward to once I get around to it. Also, once I can see the desk, there's too much junk on it. But let's see what's been going on this week while I've been reading. I did have some free time while sitting around the room to read. Apparently, Roku hackers have breached 15,000 accounts and are selling them online. So if you have a credit card in your Roku account, you might want to do something. At the very least, change your password.
Yes.
I just like this story from Lilliputing. I get a kick out of them. They actually were talking about this device, which I made me think of that time that you almost bought a router on this program.
I tried. They just never sent it to me.
I know they never sent it to you. It was very disappointing. I felt responsible, even though I wasn't responsible. Anyway, for those of you who may not have been listening that long, at one point we had somebody on from a company that was making an Android-based router. And Jerry invested in this, and his investment did not mature.
Investments can be risky.
Yeah. But this one you can definitely get. So this is the BananaPi BPI Wi-Fi 6 router. So I just thought this was interesting that BananaPi, which is one of the sort of single board alternatives to the Raspberry Pi, they're offering a Wi-Fi 6 router with a dual core ARM processor, 4 antennas, 3 gigabit Ethernet ports, plus a WAN input. For $31 plus $13 shipping, since they do have to ship it from overseas. And it's running OpenWRT.
That's pretty cool.
I thought it was a nice little device.
It is. It's even pretty. It looks like a normal router.
It is a normal router. It just uses a banana pie. But either way, it's interesting. And if you're interested, it doesn't look like, if you're willing to buy things from AliExpress, which I'm always iffy about. I have a really good reason for being iffy about it, though.
Really?
Oh, yes. My computer refuses to connect to AliExpress. Would that surprise you?
Yes.
Well, I put in some of those security measures that block malicious sites, and for some reason it thinks it's a malicious site. I've been meaning to figure out how I would fix that, but considering that my luck with the, you know, with those places where it takes like 3 weeks to get to you has been sort of mixed, I haven't really worked that hard on it. Too many other projects. Moving along, there's an editorial over at Android Police by John Bradbury, who noted that Google TV needs to get better and it needs to do it now.
Huh.
That they need to ditch the current design and come up with a more modern one. Get rid of the ads.
Or at least, I think ads are getting a little out of control everywhere, even on Fire TV.
Well, I'm not against the concept of advertising, which we've talked about.
I'm not either.
People's got to
make some money.
Yeah, I think that advertising has to deal with the fact that it shouldn't be an intrusion. And if it is an intrusion, then there has to be a value proposition. Look at all these services, Netflix, Paramount Plus, Disney Plus, etc., going for ad-supported versions in addition to their regular versions. They're realizing that for the price that they have to pay, that people have to pay, they essentially do not consider it to be value. So they're offering a lower price where you are paying less, but you have to watch advertisements they can make money off of. what do we normally call that? Cable.
Yep.
But also, my biggest problem, which I think I've said before, is that the advertisements are not relevant or interesting to me.
You know, that's a problem.
When you've seen the, when you're watching an hour-long program and you've seen the same single ad five times during an hour-long program, and that ad is for a product that you're reasonably certain you will never buy, actually 100% certain you'll never buy, because the product does not work with your anatomy, then you would think that maybe they could, if they think that personalization is the way to get more money for themselves, you think they'd realize that I'm perfectly happy with them actually showing me ads I might be interested in, as opposed to showing me things I know I'm not, that I have to sit through because I didn't pay for the version that doesn't, that allows me to skip the ads. Anyway, this particular editorial says a full scale reduction of ad content would be a step in the right direction, but we're still back to, they have to make money somehow. So relevant ads and useful ads and put in the right place seem to be a better opportunity. They're also suggesting increased customization.
Of course.
And improved profile switching for people who have multiple individuals using their device. And a serious overhaul of the UX. I like this one. Stop pushing ads disguised as recommendations. We all know they're ads. Your wordplay isn't tricking anyone. But remember, I like Google TV, and I would agree with some of their points. Anyway, moving along, Google Contacts apparently is cleaning up its contact info by moving some of the connected app contact information away from the standard contact info.
Cool.
So a visual separation to say, maybe you don't want your WhatsApp thing to be directly under your telephone number. Or maybe you do. What if you only call people on WhatsApp? But
cool. I think that's a good move. There was a push a while back to kind of merge everything into the same page.
Well, the push that I liked was that when essentially your contact page had that information in the first place, that if you had contacts from multiple systems, that they could be unified, where you could say, okay, well, here's their email address, but if I look lower down, and again, now they're making it lower down, I can see, oh, I can contact them on this service, or I can contact them on that service, and I have it here looking at my, I just pulled up the entry, let's see, do I have one for Jerry Jones in here? I do. So it says here that because at one point when we were communicating, you gave me your phone number, I have, if I wanted to message you on WhatsApp, that makes me assume you have a WhatsApp account.
I do.
And below that, it says video chat or voice call on Google Meet. So there's a connected app section instead of before where it would just show me everything mixed together. So I think it's a much better presentation. So now I have all the different ways I could talk to Jerry Jones. All four of them.
I'm available. Just saying.
Yeah. I'm not arguing the point. You are available. Moving along, apparently Airbnb has banned surveillance cameras inside rentals beginning April 30th.
They banned what?
Surveillance cameras inside the rental. So Airbnb.
Oh, okay. Airbnb, that makes a lot more sense. I thought it was like rental cars, which was.
No, Airbnb, they rent people's houses.
Sure.
Or apartments. So apparently VRBO has already done this and hotels already do this, which is Airbnb allowed hosts to have cameras in common areas inside.
Sure.
But not in private areas. So apparently their enforcement of the policy and the lack of specificity made it troubling. So now they are banning the use of indoor security cameras. You can only have them outdoors. This includes cameras which are turned off that are inside the property, indoor recording devices, and they're defining a camera recording device under their updated policy as any device that records or transmits video, images, or audio, such as a baby monitor, doorbell camera, or other camera. They're also requiring hosts to disclose presence of noise decibel monitors, and they'll only allow noise monitoring devices that do not record or transmit sounds or conversations, and only allowed in the common space of listings. So this is different from their own policy, where they let them have cameras as long as they weren't hidden, and they were only allowed to monitor public spaces. So they expressly previously said you could monitor, let's say, the living room, but you couldn't monitor the bedroom, bathroom, or anything being used as a sleeping area. So I appreciate that they finally realized that was probably a bad idea. Especially disappointingly after some things happened.
Yeah. So, kind of not cool.
Yep. And you know that we've talked about this in the context of our own homes, because I know I've mentioned that I do have internal cameras that are not powered up. Of course, I'm not an Airbnb. But my I've had some issues where, because of the way that the detection on the internal cameras works, where they did not shut off when I came in, and it took me a few moments to realize it. I keep tweaking that, but I've also made sure a few other things. For example, my cameras are very visible, the ones that are outside, and they all have lights on them indicating when they're powered on. So you can see those lights directly when you're walking past them. So for a one-bedroom apartment, I have what now? Let me see. Internally, three internal cameras in a one-bedroom. And the reason for that happens to be that there is a sliding glass door. So one is pointed at the sliding glass door, one is pointed at the inside door, and the other is pointed at the window. Not a single one of them are actually pointed at anything but an entrance or an exit. And they are the ones that I want off when I'm here. So they're off now. But we'll see what happens. I've also installed yet another camera, because I keep adding cameras.
Right.
To my frigate installation.
That's good.
Well, I added one that covered part of the driveway area, and I added another one that covered the missing part. So I need to sort of work with them to sort of mask it, because there's a little overlap between them. So I don't need detection on both cameras. I need to sort of tweak it a little. That means that out of the 360 degrees around the building, there's only one part of the building that isn't covered. And that is mostly because I can't get power over there. I have to figure out a way to get a power cord. Maybe you know. What is the longest distance you can run power over USB?
Run power?
Well, no, because most of those little cameras operate off of a USB cable.
Right.
So what is the longest distance you could transmit, you know, 5 volts of electricity over a USB cable?
USB 2 is, I think, 5 meters.
Here we are. 100 feet USB cable with repeater extender. No. Active extension cable. So you can do it, use a repeater, but I don't really need a repeater. I'm just wondering about this. Here we are. USB cable length limitations and how to break them. What is the maximum length of a USB charging cable? Here we are. A USB 2 cable can be stretched for up to 30 meters or 98 feet.
Cool. That's longer than I expected.
Well, again, I wonder if data might not work so well at that. The USB standard says it's 5 meters for USB 2. But the question is, if you're just doing power over it. Here we are. Can I extend a cable longer than 5 meters if no data or audio transfer? It says that the voltage is too low. That might be a problem. But they're implying that if you're doing power delivery, then you could probably get it further. But I don't really want to run 100 feet of network cable or any type of cable without actually having an idea as to whether or not it'll actually run. And I'm thinking network cable only because sometimes you can do a different type of cable and then convert it. But who knows?
Yep.
Maybe I'm better running electrical cable around the side of the...
Or PoE.
No, that's why I thought of network cable, PoE, but I'm not sure if that would work either.
PoE can run...
So I would run a... You're
a saying, long ways.
Yeah, so you're suggesting I run a network cable around and then have a PoE converter to get the 5 volts of electricity out of the network cable?
I would say you just use PoE cameras.
In theory. Might work. That side of the house always has bad Wi-Fi anyway. I'll have to think about that. Problem is finding a way to tuck the cable neatly. The pain to run that cable because it's brick veneer on that side of the building. Yeah, I'll figure something out. But that would give me 100% coverage around the house. Anyway, let's see what else we were going to talk about. Sometimes I lose my train of thought while we're getting into interesting conversations. Let's see, we covered creepy people who are putting cameras in inappropriate parts of homes. Oh, here we are. Google Phone might be making it easy to switch to a meet video call from a phone call.
Really?
Yeah, I still do not use Meet, despite the fact I seem to be paying for it still. Everybody I talk to does not want to use Meet. Everybody seems to want to use Zoom, which says a lot of interesting things about it. Google Wallet will be auto-adding boarding passes and movie tickets from Gmail.
That's neat.
Yeah, probably except for people who are using a Google Workspace account. Because why should
I? Oh, no, really?
That's my guess. Haven't you noticed that the Workspace accounts are the ones that don't get that sort of thing? Now, on one level, I understand that. You should have to opt into it because you don't necessarily want Google, even through software, reading what might be work email. So I understand it being something that should have an explicit opt-in. But I would opt in to get some of those things. But we'll see what happens with this one. Here is an interesting one. IBM's PCXT launched 41 years ago last week. And it has a 10 megabyte hard drive. So do you remember this type of computer, Jerry?
No.
I do, but not from 41 years ago. I remember that there were a bunch of these when I was in middle school that they had in the corner that were, you know, essentially broken. And I sort of, that's how I first started playing with fixing computers. I tried to see if I could take a bunch of old broken parts they had in the corner and turn them into, let's say, one single working computer. And that's how I learned a bunch of useful things and also cut myself a lot. But the IBM PC and the PCXT, which was its successor, was an interesting time.
Hmm. Okay. I don't remember that time.
Apparently, the Google Play Store might finally bring parallel downloads for multiple apps.
I thought it did this like years ago.
No, they keep talking about it, but no. So you still can only download one thing at a time. But they keep talking about it.
I don't know if parallel downloads will bring any benefit. I mean, your pipe's only so big.
Depends on what your pipe is.
What if you're fair enough.
No, I'm saying what if you're on Wi-Fi? I can understand your pipe may have some limitations. Otherwise, Wi-Fi is fairly... There's a much bigger pipe than some other things. But how about this one? An article on bigger, faster, stronger time zone updates on Android.
See, I don't even understand this one.
Well, you know I have a time zone thing. and right. location thing where I like talking about those topics. So this is them sort of writing about to implement time legislation, they have to follow encoded rules. And then if the government decides to change the offset, introduce new time zone regions, or alter the day that daylight savings occur, then the time zone rules on every Android device need to be updated. So they're talking about you know, how this actually works, where the time zone information is maintained by a group of volunteers in the time zone database, which is used as the basis for timekeeping on most modern operating systems. So once it, once there's a new release 4 to 5 times a year, the Android team wants to release updates. So we have the government signs a law. Somebody lets IANA know about these changes. Depending on how much lead time, they publish a new time zone database release. The Android team incorporates it into their code base and roll out the updates to devices. And some of those device updates are handled by the manufacturer, who releases them according to a slightly slower schedule. So they're saying that what they'd like to do, which they've been working on for a while, is to deliver select components directly through the Play Store. And apparently, time zone rules are a module that should be able to be updated. So they've been working on decoupling the time zone module from other components so they could essentially update faster. So if, let's say, California votes to get rid of standard time and go on permanent daylight time, which they can't legally do without the federal government, Google could adapt to that quickly. Or if Egypt puts back daylight savings time for the, what, third time in the last few years?
They do that?
It came up recently that I learned about this. So effectively speaking, daylight savings time has been restored and used in Egypt multiple times. So the British first instituted it in 1940, and it stopped in 1945, resumed 12 years later in 1957. And before the revolution in 2011, they were planning on taking a decision to abolish it, and then the transitional government did so in 2011. And then under the pretext that it would save energy, they reinstated it in 2014, with an exception for Ramadan. And the next year, they had a poll that was held on whether or not to apply summertime or not. Following the results, they decided to temporarily cancel summertime, and then they asked for ministers to work on a study on the probability of applying in a future years. And they determined that there was no tangible effect from applying it, so summertime was expected to return in 2016, but it was decided to once again cancel it, and in March of 2023, the Egyptian government announced it would be restoring daylight savings time starting in April and ending in October. So they observe summertime from the last Friday in October to the last Thursday. Excuse me, the last Friday in April to the last Thursday in October.
Interesting. That's...
And again, to avoid having longer days during the month of fasting and Ramadan, exceptions have been made to the daylight saving schedule where the two overlap. So since 2010, summertime has been split into two periods, one before Ramadan and one after Ramadan. By the way, Egypt is the only African country using daylight saving time as of 2024.
Of course there.
I've been talking to people in Egypt, and I looked up the time zone and noticed that it kept changing on me. So I read about it. Anyway, that said, there was another interesting Android developers article, which was designing your account deletion experience with users in mind. So I just thought this was interesting, where essentially the Android developers blog has actually released an article on how to have a good user experience for Delete My Account.
I think that's valuable.
I think it is too, but this is something that wouldn't have been present in, you know, previous years. I appreciate that they're doing this. And of course, finally, this last article that I found, Google Pixel has been showing a great market share overseas. So apparently Japan, the market share of the Google Pixel has exploded by 527%.
So they've gone from 1 to 5%.
Apparently, in 2022, they held 1.5% of the smartphone market in Japan with the Pixel line. And by the end of 2023, they are snagged the number two Android spot at 10.7%, right behind Sharp.
That's impressive.
Especially considering, I don't know what, I wonder what Sharp makes.
Probably telephones.
No, what I'm saying is I've never heard of Sharp branded smartphones. The other companies I've heard making phones, but Sharp, it wasn't really known for it. But we have Apple with 51.9% of the market, then Sharp, then Google, then Samsung. So essentially, in Japan, Google is beating Samsung.
Nice.
Yeah, thought that was interesting. So that would be the end of all of the things that I found that happened this week in terms of show notes. So, have you been up to anything, Jerry, that you would like to share with the listeners?
I have been exceedingly busy with stuff that probably not appropriate to talk about on a Techno Buffet podcast.
Okay, well, as I said, I went to a family wedding, which took 2.5 days and continues on for another week. And before that, I was still recovering from my trip. So I have a lot of things that I need to do. I hope to have more.
Alrighty.
I did do a few things, but nothing I'm ready to talk about yet. So now that we are wrapping up this podcast, I will be able to relax for a little while before bedtime.
Nice. Congratulations. Finally, right?
Yeah, but like 1 hour of it. I could use a little more. Maybe over the weekend I'll get a chance to relax a little.
That's my recommendation.
Well, sometimes it isn't possible. Anyway, so until next time,
Till next time. Bye, folks.
goodbye.